Today at Reader's Corner, Winfan Quay Mai, best-selling author, returns to Reader's Corner to discuss her new novel, Dust Child. I'm Bob Custer. Welcome to Reader's Corner. On today's program, novelist Winfan Quay Mai talks with us about her new novel, Dust Child. The novel alternates between Vietnam in 1969, following the young lives of the sisters Tran and Queen, who leave their village to work at a bar in Saigon, and Vietnam from 2016 to 2019, when Americans Linda and her husband Dan, who was a helicopter pilot during the Vietnam War, has come back to face his demons, and Fawn, an Amerasian in Vietnam, trying to get his family to America. Dust Child is a moving and convincing portrait of the ravages of war, not only on those directly affected, but those years later still dealing with their consequences. Winfan Quay Mai is the author of a dozen books of fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. Born during the Vietnam War, she worked as a street seller and rice farmer before winning a scholarship to attend university in Australia. She also received her PhD in creative writing from Lancaster University. Including her recent novel, The Mountain Sing, her writing has been translated into more than 20 languages. She joins us today for her book, Dust Child. Winfan Quay Mai, welcome to Reader's Corner.
Thank you so much, Bob, for having me back. And thank you to all the listeners at the Reader's Corner for supporting us and for listening to stories about Vietnam.
Well, your story is unique, and it's so well told. I can still remember interviewing you for your book, The Mountain Sing, and our listeners should know, if they haven't seen that book, that that is really the story of a Vietnamese family on the ground during the war. We know, as Americans, many stories from Vietnam that come to us from the American experience. You gave a beautiful portrait of what life was like for the Vietnamese on the ground. And that was in North Vietnam. And now today we're going to talk about a book, Dust Child, that is about South Vietnam and also all of Vietnam, of course. But let's begin by the title of the book. What is a Dust Child?
During the Vietnam War, tens of thousands of children were born into relationships between American soldiers and Vietnamese women. Many of them, unfortunately, grew up without their parents, so they were homeless. They were called Bụi Đời, the dust of life. So this book is about the incredible experiences of the Amerasians still left behind in Vietnam, but also their courage and what they had to overcome, you know, to be able to build a life for themselves and to search for their identity and offer healing for themselves and also others. So in this book, you know, I want to present Amerasian people as those who are not victims, those who have done so much to contribute to our society. So from my Black Amerasian character in the novel, was abandoned at birth by his parents, is illiterate, but he's a loving father and husband, and he's a carpenter, and he's a musician of Vietnamese traditional music.
Now, what's interesting about these Amerasians is that skin color in Vietnam, as you discuss in your novel, plays a significant role in their lives. Could you expand on that for us and help us understand the difference between an Amerasian and some Vietnamese who simply don't seem to have as much, whatever you want to call it, respect for those?
So, you know, mixed race children look very different compared to the average Vietnamese because, you know, normally we have brown skin and, you know, black hair, and we are very, you know, like our society is, you know, we haven't had many mixed race marriages, so people look very similar with each other in terms of, you know, facial appearances. So here came, you know, mixed race children who were born out of, you know, relationships between Vietnamese women and black or white American soldiers. So like they looked very different, and they were considered outcasts because they stood out, and people considered, you know, they were children of some people consider them children of the enemy, and because, you know, they didn't have the chance to go to school, they were not given the chance to have job of they didn't have much chance, you know, to have good jobs, and they had to survive. A lot of them grew up on the street and they had to fight for survival. So they were, you know, labeled all types of names, and they were put in prison in re-education camps. So, I mean, these children were very much discriminated against, and growing up, you know, they had to overcome a lot of that and to make a, you know, good life for themselves. So I have worked with Amerasians throughout the years, and I have a lot of admiration for them. And I mean, this book grew out of my real-life research and real-life work in helping, Amerasians unite with their family members. Recently, I facilitated a reunion between an Amerasian who is in Phan Thiet in Vietnam with an American veteran based in Ohio. And, you know, I met her and, you know, like, she's this really, like, hopeful woman, 52 years old, and even though she's illiterate, and, you know, she works as a farmer, but she always believes in the goodness of people. And, you know, she tried for many years to look for her parents, because she was abandoned at birth. She was sold by a woman who got her when she was a baby. She was exploited for labor. And she wanted to find out who her parents were, to find out that, you know, they hadn't given her away because, you know, she was ugly or because she didn't deserve love. She just wanted to find out who the parents were. And, you know, through the miracle of DNA testing, she found the nephew of her father. So her father went to Vietnam as a young man. And he returned to the U.S. trying to forget the war, not thinking he had fathered a child in Vietnam. So he had no idea before she contacted her. And in this case, it's a happy, this story has a happy ending, because the father is very kind. And, when the nephew found out that he had a relative in Vietnam, the whole family was shocked, because they said, how come we have a relative in Vietnam? So everyone said, okay, it's your uncle who went to Vietnam. But first, the father denied it, because he was married when he went to Vietnam. So he also, you know, did not remember what went on because of trauma. So people tried to forget what happened. So then his daughter went ahead to do the DNA testing and confirm sibling relation. And then he did the DNA testing. And when I translated for their video reunions, it was very emotional. And, you know, the fact that we speak now, tens of thousands of Amerasians are still searching for their parents. And many of the fathers don't even know that they have fathered these Amerasians. And many mothers, the Vietnamese mothers, for example, who live in the countryside, they don't know about the technology of DNA testing, and that they could use that technology to find their kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because I also work as a journalist, so throughout my journalism, I helped some veterans unite with their former Vietnamese girlfriends who had been pregnant with their children. And, you know, and the veterans had walked away from these women. And years later, more than 40 years later, they have been returning to Vietnam to try and look for them. So I interviewed them and, you know, I helped some of them unite. And when I spoke to some of the women, they didn't know about DNA testing. So I wrote about, you know, like, DNA testing in the book, like, for example, from the Amerasian character in my book, he had no idea about DNA testing and that he could have employed mm-hmm. it to search for his parents.
You're listening to Reader's Corner. My guest today is Win Phan Quy Mai, best-selling author of the new novel, Dust Child. Well, you've just given our listeners a great lesson on the importance of delving into a novel like yours. So many people I run into, when I ask them what they read, they say, oh, I read nonfiction because I want to read something real. They don't like the idea of a novel being made up. You have just given us the perfect example of a novel that tells the truth through fiction. And that story is remarkably close the man you helped, the Ohio situation, remarkably close to Dan and Linda in your novel. And maybe you could just give our listeners a snapshot of what Dan is dealing with, what Dan and Linda are going to do in Vietnam as they get off the plane.
Oh, you know, you mentioned about the similarity of Dan's story and the man in Ohio. Actually, I met the man in Ohio just a few months ago. So I had no idea about him when I wrote Dan. So, you know, there have been like Americans who read this book and say, how come you knew these stories? Because they are so similar to mine.
Right.
And there is an Amerasian who told me that he couldn't explain the he found his mother 48 years after his birth. And he said he couldn't explain some of his mother's decisions until he read my novel. Because in my novel, I highlighted the fact that some people had to make up a version of the truth so that they could live with themselves. So, you know, his mother made up a version of the truth. And I mean, for Dan, he also made up a version of the truth, which he believed, you know, that was true to him. But I mean, it could be, you know, because of trauma, it was different than reality. And, you know, with all of my writing projects, I try to do something different. So, you know, with The Mountain Sing, I wrote for the first time a novel in English. In the first book in English, so it was a crazy attempt because I had to write it with a Vietnamese dictionary. But I had to do it because, you know, like throughout our history, we have been colonized by different empires and we have been robbed of our chance to tell our own stories. So, you know, here was my chance to decolonize literature about Vietnam. Here was my chance to talk about, you know, the Vietnamese people whom I grew up with knowing and to put Vietnamese people on the center stage of the story about the Vietnam War and about Vietnam. So with that child, I attempted something also very crazy, you know, to write in the viewpoint of a traumatized former helicopter pilot who is a white American man. So, you know, for someone who studied English very late in her life, it was, you know, a very difficult, task, but I couldn't have done it without, you know, my years of volunteering, translating for American veterans who had been returning to Vietnam, you know, to volunteer at orphanages, to bridge, you know, to translate Vietnamese literature, to visit former battlefields, to connect with former enemies. So, you know, Dan is born out of my many years working with American veterans. And, you know, through the character of Dan, I wanted to show the impact of violence and wars on young people because many American soldiers went to Vietnam as young men. And, you know, as 18 or 19 years old boys, they were thrown into the vortex of the war. They had to participate in violence or witness violence, and that violence really transformed them, you know, affected their personality. So because of that violence, you know, Dan, from a very, you know, romantic, kind man, he was turned into a violent person towards, you know, his former, you know, his Vietnamese girlfriend, Kim, you know, who loved him. So I don't want to reveal the plot so much, but, you know, it took Dan many years later to recognize his relationship with Chang, or with her name is Kim at the bar. Mm-hmm. And he only recognized the depth of that relationship when he returned to Vietnam more than 40 years later with his wife, Linda. So, you know, through this novel, I also wanted to show the kindness of some Americans who have been returning or who have been going to Vietnam and try to offer, you know, help to Vietnamese people, because healing and reconciliation is not possible unless the people of all sides are willing to offer our hands and join hands in that circle of healing and reconciliation. And in this book, you know, I have many characters. I have an Amerasian character. I have Vietnamese characters who fought both for North Vietnam and South Vietnam. And I have Vietnam American veterans as well. So, you know, I want to talk about healing and reconciliation and peace, how we can work together to promote peace, because this book is my message for peace and for humans to love humans more.
Well, that's beautifully stated, Kwe Mai, and it reminds me of one scene in your book when the former American soldier, that would be Dan, finds himself in the company of a man who served in the North Vietnamese Army. And I'd like you to kind of take it from there and help us understand what happens at that moment when both of these men realize who they are and what they have been. But I think that really does tell the story of what you're trying to do here with this novel, helping people understand the ravages of war, number one, but secondly, overcoming them and finding a way to move on.
You know, in my novel, I show that these men who had been told that they should dehumanize the other side and look at them as the enemy, as the subject to be killed, you know, for them to meet in today's world in the former soldier's home and to be invited for tea, you know, to be treated to hospitality, and for them to realize that you know, all soldiers are just human beings, regardless of whatever sides they fought for, you know, and they should recognize that full humanity in each other. And that makes, you know, if all soldiers had learned about the humanity of the other side, I think people would hesitate very much to kill each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the terrible reality of wars. There's so much propaganda that, you know, we are told to dehumanize the other side, so, you know, so that they are the other, they are different than us. But in the end, whoever we are all children of Mother Earth. We are all, we are children of our parents. We are, you know, and we have red blood inside of us, you know. We are all equal and we are similar for our love for our family, our love for peace, our love for a normal daily life. So, you know, I mean, in this moment, in Das Child, I wanted to show that, you know, these men realize that they are both normal human beings who love to read, who love music, who love literature. And it took years for them to come together to realize that humanity. And it was only possible due to the child of the Northern Vietnamese veteran who brought them together and held their hand and prayed for them and prayed for peace.
I'm Bob Custer, host of Reader's Corner. Today I'm speaking with Win Phan Quy Mai, author of the new novel, Das Child. The book is a saga about two Vietnamese sisters and an American man whose lives intersect in surprising ways set during and after the war in Vietnam. Well, Quy Mai, there is no question that those of us who have viewed the Vietnam War from afar over here in America just don't seem to understand or know the details of what life was like on the ground in those days. And through the lives of Tran and her sister, Queen, you really tell that story. Maybe you could, again, just give a snapshot. We never give away the plots on this or the endings on these in these interviews. But tell us who these sisters were, why they had to leave home to go to Saigon, and then their work at the Hollywood Bar. I mean, in a way, the Hollywood Bar seems symbolic of the cultural nightlife in old Saigon that catered to American soldiers.
Thank you for these amazing questions, Bob. You read and understand my work so well. It's really a true honor to be speaking with you. So, you know, I chose the name Hollywood Bar for a purpose, because I mean, many Hollywood movies have demeaned Vietnamese women, have put us down, have represented us as victims, as those who have to be rescued by white people. You know, bar girls or women, Vietnamese women who worked in bars, are often, you know, represented in Hollywood movies as those very simple, you know, sexual, those who are absent of trauma and agency. And I talked to many of these women, and I know that they are some of the strongest women I have met in my life. These women actually had to sacrifice their their life, their youth, you know, to be able to save their family from poverty, save their family from the war. So, you know, I was stunned when researching for this book that there were hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese women who had to work in bars and brothels that served American soldiers. So, you know, Chang and Quynh are just two sisters who were farmers who had to leave their village to go to Saigon and to work at the Hollywood bar. And they had to compromise a lot of their personal ethics to be able, you know, to earn money, to send home to help their parents, because her father was injured in the war and the mother, you know, they were in debt and they had to repay the debtors. So there were many complex social relations that came into play in this novel. And, you know, Chang is a bad girl. Chang, the main character in the novel, is a bad girl, but, you know, she is a poet. She loves to read, and it is literature she reads each night after coming home from the bar that purifies her and gives her strength. And, you know, she remembers by heart, you know, the Tale of Kiều, the epic Vietnamese, you know, novel in verse with more than 3,200 verses, you know. So, you know, Chang and Quynh are typical Vietnamese women, you know, who love to sing, who love poetry, who love music, who love cooking. And because of the war, they had to become bad girls and prostitutes. And it's very, you know, it's very difficult for them to overcome that situation and accepted the fact that they had to work in these jobs. But, you know, in the novel, I wanted to talk about their strength and also the way they had to protect their image to outsiders. So I was talking about, you know, making up versions of the truth, and this is one situation. So, you know, I started the book not knowing what would happen in the end, and the end shocked me.
It certainly shocked me, I'll tell you that, and I don't think anybody's going to figure it out, and that's a very good thing when you're reading a novel like yours.
Yeah, you know, like one of the great things about being a novelist is that, you know, you can surprise yourself when writing. And that's why I don't normally plan the plot before I start. I want to surprise myself, because I think unless you can surprise yourself, you can't surprise the reader.
Well, when I got to the ending, I was definitely surprised, but I was pleasantly surprised, because the more I thought about it, it's not the ending I was looking for exactly. And you know what I mean. But when I thought about it, I thought, this is the most clever approach to dealing with this subject, because it is how life turns out for so many of these people who you are portraying in your novel. So if I could focus for a minute on Thea, who is this guide that Dan and Linda hire. At one point, I think he made reference to being in a re-education camp for 5 years. And you mentioned re-education camps earlier in our conversation here. Tell us just what those were. And is it a case of were they're no longer in existence, or are they still out there?
Re-education camps were set up after the war to, you know, with the purpose to turn those who were on the other side into good citizens. So it was a program that re-educated, you know, a lot of former Southern Vietnamese army officers. So it went on for years, and it's known in Vietnam that it took place, and there have been a lot of books and articles written about it. So Thien went through re-education camps, and he was very bitter about it, because he thought, you know, I mean, he was resentful towards the American comrades of his, or the, you know, the American army who had, you know, abandoned the South Vietnamese army at that time. But he is also very honest, because, you know, what he went through a lot. And he also, you know, has been struggling in Vietnam. For example, his child was not allowed to go to a university because, you know, he was associated with the enemy. So this is also the reality that took place you know, after the war in Vietnam. And, you know, he also, Thien is, I enjoyed writing in the viewpoint of Thien. He's someone who is also very anti-colonialism. You know, he's in the book, he said this about the French. When France invaded Vietnam, we took the bread and made it better. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so he was talking about, you know, how delicious Vietnamese banh mi is, you know. We really took the bread and we made better Vietnamese sandwich, you know. So, you know, through Phong, I also want to talk about some contemporary issues of the life in Vietnam, because no society is perfect. And in Vietnam, you know, we also have issues with you know, sometimes injustices or corruption. And from, you know, like the honest opinion of Phong, I hope, you know, will presenting my view and my willingness so that Vietnam becomes a fairer country, you know, a fairer society for everyone.
You know, one thing I learned that I hadn't really thought much about is that here is Thien, who was an ARVN, South Vietnamese soldier, fighting alongside Americans. The war's over. They both go home, so to speak. But the differences between their lives is remarkable and unfortunate, because Americans go home at least to some kind of treatment, to veterans' benefits of one kind or another. That doesn't exactly work for Thien, does it?
I wanted to, with all of my books, I wanted to present, you know, different sides of the history, you know, history from multiple perspectives. And the Southern Vietnamese army officers, for example, you know, I mean, so many people died during the war, and those who fought alongside Americans, they have not been officially acknowledged, you know, like in the Black War in Washington, D.C., you know, you don't have the names of those soldiers. And in Vietnam, they are not acknowledged, you know, and they don't have any benefits. And also the trauma that they bring home, they don't have access to counseling service. So, you know, I want to highlight the fact that Vietnamese people nowadays in Vietnam, whether, you know, those who are impacted by war in the North or South Vietnam, we all need help. In terms of healing to recover from our trauma, because there has been so little research and support, research done on victims of war in Vietnam in terms of PTSD and trauma, and also little, you know, like counseling support given to them. So that's why in the book, then the American veteran, you know, in the end of the book, he sets up a nonprofit to assist Vietnamese people in terms of healing from PTSD and trauma. And I think this is an area in real life that Vietnam can benefit from more support from American people and the American government.
Well, that's beautifully stated, Khoi Mai, and your book is beautifully stated from the very first page till the last. And I spent 2 years really recommending this book so strongly to all of my friends and anybody who would ask me what my favorite books are from Reader's Corner. So for the last 2 years, I've been recommending The Mountain Sing, and I'm looking forward to the next 2 years when I can recommend your book, Dust Child. You've done a beautiful job with this novel, and I can't thank you enough for writing it. And most importantly, I sure hope there's another one that you're thinking about, and we are going to be able to benefit from someday down the road.
You know, you are so kind, Bob. I mean, the conversation I had with you about The Mountain Sing was one of my favorite conversations. And I remember you saying, I want to invite you back for your next book. So I've been waiting for this conversation during the past month. So thank you so much for having me back. It has been a real honor.
It's just been a delight, and very best wishes on your book tour, which is taking you across the world. And again, thanks so much for writing it. The book is Dust Child by Win Phan Khoi Mai. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Reader's Corner is presented by Boise State Public Radio News. The engineer for today's show is Eric Jones, with production by Joel Wayne. I'm Bob Kustra. Please join me next week as we talk to today's leading writers about the ideas and issues that help shape our world at Reader's Corner.